Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I apologize for missing the earlier two classes today.
It's okay. You've been there too.
Today we are studying the Tikkuni Zohar prologue. We're at section 39. And the wise are the chambers. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kut shabrihu ishkin de bitkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud he bavate. Ve'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino elena ma'aseh yadenu konenei elena ma'aseh yadenu konenehu. Paragraph 353. V'ha maskilim inun hekalim v'tziurin bidgina. Ginta Eden Uru Mitsu Yarin Umru Kami Beatwan Aleph Siura Dehekala Geniza Dehianohi Disalik Lehoshban. He said, Leu Mitsuyar Beniku Mikudin de Ignun de Kalvaya de Naharim Birkia Lukom Mitsuyarin Nishmatin. Veruhin, venachin, v'tzadikaya. And the wise are the chambers and images of the Garden of Eden, all illustrated and embroidered with letters. Aleph is the illustration of a hidden chamber, and it alludes to I am, the word Anohi, with a gematria of 81, which equals the numerical value of the word throne, which is in the Hebrew kisei, which is a numerical value 81. It is illustrated by vowels, which are shining stars in the firmament, and the neshamot, ruchot, and nefashot of the righteous are shaped by these vowels. This is a very deep paragraph. Many sages have mentioned or commented on that the kisei, the throne, has the same gematria as Anochi. But what is the difference, or really, what is our understanding of the word throne? The throne is where the king sits. We speak of the throne as the world of Briah, the world of creation, because the world of Atzilut is sitting on that throne. But we never think in terms of the I am, the word Anohi. We've discussed that the Anohi is the soul of Hashem. He's saying, with the word Anohi, that I write my soul to you. But how does it get to the Torah, which is in the level of Yetzirah? It has to go through the throne. And because of the gematria being equal, Anochi is also at the level of the Kisei. It's at the level of Bria. So this is a hint to where is the Esser Dibrot coming from? And the idea of Hashem coming down to the physical world and being on Mount Sinai, where the physical world is ultimately the throne for Hashem. But it's not every day that throne, that we are ready for it, because the throne is impure. And that is the work of the children of Israel. And the idea that the vowels are the stars in the firmament, I've never heard that before. That's something that needs to be contemplated. Because he created the stars on the fourth day of creation. And the neshamot are shaped by those stars, presenting the soul.
Has joined.
But we need to look up to the constellations and see if we can see the shapes of the vowels in those constellations. A single dot could be a single star, or it could be a galaxy that's so far distant that all we can see is that dot. Paragraph 354. Utsiura dileya kegavna da. The upper yud and vav of the olive da ihu ihi ihi diokna dekametz batach. The patach vowel, the ihu nitzot, the rakia nitzot ihu kohav, va'aleya itmar darach kohav me'imiya atov, rakia lekam, devet mi. Rael Nitzon Ihu Kohav Tama Benachara Berakia Atara Alresheya Vetata Itpalag Aleph Kegavna Dad. The lower vav and lower yud of the olive. Viharadit quote rakia viharvayhu betsiura da. Its shape is similar to the upper yud and vav of the olive, which is the shape of an inverted vowel. The kamatz, which is the looks like the T vowel, but it's really a line, and underneath that line is a dot, which is a spark and a firmament. The spark is a star about which was said, there shall step forth a star out of Jacob. And firmament is a tribe about which was said, and a tribe will rise from among Israel. This spark is a star, which is the sun that shines in the firmament and is a crown above its head. At the lower side, the aleph is divided like this, the lower vav and the yud. the moon below the firmament, that both the sun and the moon are included in this illustration of the Aleph. And again, we have a very deep paragraph. Most people do not realize that the Aleph is made with two vavs. The line that we perceive as one vav is actually two. We learned this when we studied the number of letters in the Torah. And there's an essay on the Hashem website about how that is calculated. But essentially, it's the number of letters times the component parts of those letters. So in the case of the Aleph, for every Aleph you see, there are four components, two Vavs and two Alephs. Two Vavs and two Yuds. Essentially, there's the lower sharing letters, Yud and Vav, and the higher sharing letters. That's just one of the discussions that's built into this paragraph. Understanding the Kamat as a Vav and a Dot with its gematria of 16, you see the connections. You understand also why the Aleph is concealed. We've discussed that the Aleph is concealed because it is the breath for every letter. In order to say a letter bet, you have to inhale first. And the sound of the inhale is the sound of the Aleph. I'm not sure you can hear that on the recording. Paragraph 355. There are two closing parentheses that are in upright form, and two closing parentheses that are laid down, pointing downward, or essentially rotating the upright form 90 degrees to your right will give you the second picture. Yay, te, sim, sam, mem, le, istakala, va, le, tata, istaklat, le, ela, ve, ikesi, at, an, fa, ha, mine, ya, ve, hadrat, an, pa, ha, mine, ya, Data we eat rafaka minea beha huzimna tiku bahodesh shofar bakeste leom haganu. The illustration of the moon that faces upward when Samach Mem comes to gaze at the moon, meaning to draw her abundance downward, she looks up and covers her face from him and turns her face away from him, not to look down and to distance herself from him. About this time it is said, blow the shofar on the new month, on the covered moon, for our feast day. This is a very interesting reflection on Rosh Hashanah, that the moon is covered, it's concealed, but it's concealing itself from Satan, because the moon represents the nation of Israel, and on Rosh Hashanah, they're blowing the shofar to conceal themselves from Satan. And the moon does so by looking up to Hashem, which we do in the service itself, in the shofar service on Rosh Hashanah. We turn away, meaning we utilize the idea of the closing paragraphs, the closing parentheses, which separates what's in the parentheses from the rest of the essay. But that's just a metaphor. Verse 356. Bi'an yarcha bi'archa de'it kasya be'yasihera uman hudim kase ala Hashem devakein salik aleph beheshban yud le'ela vavi emtsai ita ve'ihi v'atir la'ahed ani Hashem u'shemi v'gomer. He asks which month. He answers in the first month that the moon covers itself. He asks who is the cover over it. He answers, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, since Aleph has the same numerical value, 26, which is the value of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, Aleph with Yud above, Yud below, and Vav in the middle. And he guards her, as it says, I am Hashem, that is my name, and my glory, I will not give it to another. My name and glory are associated names to Malchut. In the secret of blessed is the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. This paragraph is clear. The only distinction that we need to clarify is I said that the Aleph has two Vav that creates the firmament, or that is the firmament. But to get to the Gematria 26 for the Aleph requires the two Vav to be unified as one, which is the way we see it. But that's an aspect of illusion, because when the scribe draws the Aleph, he does so in a pattern of two Vav, but they flow together, so we see them as one. And that is the idea of an illusion. So how does the illusion impact this paragraph is something that has to be contemplated. And this verse in Isaiah that is being brought here, my name and glory are associated names to Malchut. In the secret of blessed is the name of the glory of his kingdom forever. Kingdom is Malchuto, which is Malchut, his kingdom. And blessed is his name. Blessings is one of the names of Hashem, and the glory is his kingdom. The purpose of blessings is to flow the light into Malchut ultimately, and that is the manifestation of that light is called glory. So glory is the manifestation of blessings. Verse 357. Ved he kala linku da gag sila ihu rakia ve ihu patach alea itmar Notesh amayim kairiya v'ihu vavim kaste al nekuda ayila'a v'tata'a v'yemsa'ita kegavna dabet. That is the chamber for the dot. The dot being the dagesh in the bet. So the letter bet is a chamber, a vessel for the dot, which is the dagesh. Since up to here, he explained, the secret of the kametz in the letter Aleph, which includes two kametzes, one regular kametz and one inverted in the secret of Atik and Arikan Pin. Two halves of Keter, of Ban, Bet Nun is 52, is Malchut. The Keter of Malchut is formed from the light of Chokmah being two halves of the Keter. And it's formed from the kametz. One is written normally, and one is written in an inverted way. He now returns to explain the secret of the vowel, patah, in the aspect of Bina's life in the vessel of Chokmah, which is the supernal Abba and Ima that became a chamber to that dot, that is Chokmah. Because they are the upper three of Bina, which is entirely Hasadim. It is therefore illustrated by two Vavs, which are the secret of Hasadim. Its proof is a firmament, and it is Patah, meaning Chokmah of the right. About it, it is said, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? And it is the Vav that covers over the dot, above, below, and in the middle, meaning to say it is a composite of three vavs like this. And it is describing the three vavs that form the letter bet, which is the chamber of the dagesh, which is Chokmah. Again, this paragraph needs to be contemplated, but it's really clear as written. There's just much more to it than what you read. Paragraph 358. Sadi terein nitzutzot diat sadi inun tseri terei reishin dit sadi inun terein da the ayin. Shin eat la talat reishin ve'inun segol ve'inun telat nekudin sherek. Tzadik, the letter tzadik, the two sparks of the letter tzadik are the vowel teri, which is the secret of Israel taba and tivunah, and the lower seven of Bina, which are the sources of Zeran Bit. the sources of Zeran Pin and Nukba, which are hinted in Tevunah, being the son, the ben, and the daughter, bat. Two dots that appear in tzadik is in the secret of yud and in inverted nun, in the secret of back-to-back. The two heads of the tzadik are two heads of ayin, when they unify face-to-face, and ayin is the secret of Chokmah, in the meaning of a man's wisdom illuminates his face. The letter shin has three heads, and they are the vowel sigol. The chesed of the vowels that, and they are three dots of the vowel shirut. The hod of the vowels and the root of malchut. And when they illuminate in malchut, the dots are positioned one on top of the other, without right, left, and central, like in sigol. In the secret of the da'at of Nukva is light. And the dots are apportioned to top, middle, and end. I don't even know where to begin to explain this paragraph. First off, you have to understand the names of these vowels. The vowel sigol is the three dots in a triangular form. The shuruk vowel is the three dots when they form a straight line that's on a diagonal. It's describing the letter tsadi and the letter ayin being formed from the yud and the inverted nun forms a sadiq, the letter tzadi. But it's also describing the root vowels of the letter tzadi. We pronounce it tsa, tza, tsa. But it's implying here that there's a difference to that ah sound. That it probably should be pronounced say. Easy, short A, as opposed to the long A. But over the centuries, perhaps that's changed. Maybe on my understanding is it correct. Each person should contemplate what I've said to determine what is the right thing for them. When it comes to the letter shin being made from the three heads, which is the three dots, but it's really the three vavs with the dot. One time the dot is on the top of the vav, one time it's in the middle. That's two of the three. And one time it's underneath the vav, even though the vav doesn't appear there. And that's the vowel that's pronounced with an E sound, with one dot underneath the letter. That's my opinion. Contemplate this paragraph for this discussion. Paragraph 359. Vav resha dila polem direk. Shurik bevav kutsa milvav tirek kutsa beat gimel bekola yitramiz beat aleph nekuda le'ela olem nekuda le'tata hirek Bim Saita Shurek Egavna Davav. The vowels under this word. one dot, not two, under the reish. The English translation of 359. Vav, which is the secret of Tiferet, its top are the vowels of Kolem, Pirik, and Shurup in Vav, meaning Melapum, because Vav is the secret of Zeranpin that ascends and regulates between the right and left of Israel Saba and Tugunah, in the meaning of the two vowels, Holim and Shurut. Since Holim is the secret of the Keter and Chachma that remained in the level and were never affected ever, and it is the secret of the right column. Shuruk is the secret of Bina, Tiferet and Malchut, which elect to a lower level and later return to that level and are considered to be left column. It is known that when the
has joined
column, right and left come forth, a conflict develops between them, and they are unable to shine until Zeranpin ascends with Spemen and waters and unites the two columns together, and then they can shine, and this is the secret of the central column, and Chirik. It is a general principle that any light that is caused above by the lower also merits it, and therefore the Vav has all three vowels, the Holem, the Shuruk, and the Chirik. The tip, literally the thorn from the inner side of the Vav, is the tip of the letter Gimel in the secret of the Chesed that comes from the Chirik, which is the prime cause to diminish the left column and unite it with the right, which is mercy, in the secret of who recompenses. The Gomel is the Hebrew word for recompenses, good Chasadim. All these vowels, Holem, Chirik, and Shuruk, are hinted in the letter Aleph, which is in this partsuf of Israel Saba and Tivunah, from which the vowels are derived. As is known that the supernal Abba and Ima are cantillation marks, and Israel Saba and Tivunah are vowels. The upper point of the Aleph is the vowel Holem. The lower point of the Aleph is the vowel Chirik, and in the middle is the vowel Shuruk, like the Vav, within the Aleph, meaning Melopun, Vav and a dot. This paragraph is explaining how the Aleph and the vowel are related. It really needs to be contemplated. It would be much too long to expand upon this with an English explanation and a commentary. But it needs to be understood, contemplated, and related to how it relates to the Aleph. Verse 360, or paragraph 360. We owed Tirain Nikudin Diat Alephi Nun Seri. We inun Sheva, we inun Bidokna. Ahara Aleph Tigon Yud Le Elavav. We emsaita Dalit Litata. Ihu kutotza le'ela kutza le'tata kutotza be'emse ita ve'ihu sagol se'gol ve'ihu shorek ve'lat ve'kudin. Kola ihu Aleph. Also, besides the vowels of Cholem, Shuruk, and Chirik. The two vowels of the letter Aleph are Tzeri and Svah. Thus, there are also Tzeri and Shva in the letter Aleph, and are hinted in another form of the Aleph. As is known, the Aleph hints to Yud Vav Yud, and also to Yud Vav Dalet, like this: Yud above, Vav in the middle, Dalet at the bottom. The letter Aleph has a thorn at its origin, that is the tip above the Yud, a tip at the bottom of the Dalet, a tip in the middle of the Vav, and it is a Segol and a Shuruk, consisting of three dots. Thus, all nine dots are alluded in the Aleph. See verse 353, where it says, Aleph is the illustration of a hidden chamber, and it alludes to I am, Anohi, which equals the numerical value of the throne, Kisei, both 81, and it is illustrated by vowels. And this paragraph is completing the discussion of paragraph 353. But it's also explaining how the Aleph is missing the thorns, which are the tagim, the crowns. And the crowns are not present in the Aleph the way we write it in the Torah, primarily because of the concept of the Aleph is concealed. Paragraph 361. Atvan acharanim ekalim lekisuyan leilein atvan wikola ihu merukam suyar vikarsaya bav shit dargin likarsayis Bar Saya Samet Shitim Galgalu Galgalo Ifrisaya Diat Van Deoraita Id Kaya Ut Virazada Le Hakime Libait Masar. Other letters that illustrate in the Garden of Eden are chambers and covers for these letters of Aleph, which is the inner chamber, and all is embroidered and illustrated in the throne, which is Bria. And even though we are discussing the letters in Atzilut, it is only mentioned as root source, but the essence of the letters themselves were not able to come out until the world of Bria, meaning below the dividing curtain, the Masach of Atzilut, where the curtains have control. However, in Atzilut itself, there is no controlling power of a curtain at all. And without the power of the dividing curtain, the letters do not take on their letter latent shape. And what we determine and distinguish dividing curtains and letters in Atzilut are merely for the source roots that activate such in the lower worlds. Vav is its six levels to the throne, which are the lower six sephirot of Zeranpin. Samech is the 60 wheels of the throne, which are the lower six sephirot of Malchut. In the secret of the verse, behold, it is the bed of Solomon. 60 mighty men are surrounding it. Regarding the letters of the Torah we studied, there is no earlier and later in the Torah. But in the throne, all are properly organized, and this secret was given to the wise of heart. With contemplation, this paragraph becomes very clear. But there will be confusion until you recognize and realize that we are talking about the world of Atzilut as a state of potential for the vowels, and that the world of Bria is their actual location, where they can be perceived as the Tikkuni Zohar says they're embroidered. That's the completion of our class today. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts?
Yes, sir. Could we get that posted on the recording?
Yes. As soon as I have it, which will not be until after midnight, so it'll be posted sometime tomorrow.
All right, thank you so much. And what is the title?
It may even be Tuesday, Malka, because of the today that I missed. So that
okay,
all of that can take a while.
And what will the title be? What will it be?
It will be Tikkuni Zohar. I'm not sure what class number it will be, but it will relate to the paragraph or the section number 39.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments or thoughts? I hope you all have a beautiful week. Shavua Tov. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. Shavua Tov.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Shavua Tov.
Thank you.
That was a deep one.
Very much so.
Yeah, I have to really know the names of those vowels, and that helps a lot, I think.
It does help, but it's also the difference in the vowel, in the pronunciation, based on the vowels that are printed here. I don't really know the source of those vowels that are being printed here, or even if they're correct. But there was clearly differences between the way we normally pronounce them and the way they're being pronounced here. So it leads to some, you know, you have to contemplate that to find out what is truth for you.
Well, I think I've mentioned before, you know, that like the Serae with two dots in the early 80s, it had the short E sound. If it was followed by Yud, we called it the Sivrei Yud, and it was a long E sound. And the same thing with the Hebrew. With the Sharuk, that was the vav with the dagesh in the middle. We would tell the kids, the ball hits you in the stomach.
Right.
Whereas the ball going down the steps was the kibbutz. So it's a lot of, you know, it's even a change in the way the books, and I've mentioned this before, you know, because of when I started way back in the 80s, the sounds were different. And when the books started being published later, they seemed to change the sounds. So, with the letters. So, you're
and
right.
That change was coming from the agreement between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim in 1952 in Israel as to which would be the proper pronunciation. And mm-hmm. and that's when the books were starting to be reprinted. There was a different generation of teachers. So the books were starting to be reprinted based on what is the sound in Israel. That's my opinion. I haven't really researched it, but that is my opinion.
Well, 12 years ago, the sounds in Israel were like the original sounds that I learned in the 80s. You know, so, but I think with Israeli, you know, when Hebrew is your native language, the sounds that come forth, we just don't have it. Maybe for us, it's our southern accents. You know, it's so hard for everybody to make that guttural sound and these sounds that aren't in English, in the English language. So they seem to have a clearer enunciation of the vowel sounds.
I have a friend that I study the Zohar with. He lives in Germany, but he was in Israel. Billy was in his early 20s after the army. And when I listen to him read the Aramaic, there's a very big difference in the way I hear the words and the way I would pronounce them. So it's very much, you know, I know the Israelis speak a different sound to the vowels. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. As well as that rolling sound of the resh, you know, that's another difference there.
That's correct. But that rolling sound, it was relatively easy for me. I'm not saying I do it properly, but it's relatively easy for me because of living in Southern California with so many Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rolling resh, the rolling R, is very much part of the Spanish language from Mexico. I don't know if it's in Spain or not. I know there's a big difference between the Spanish sound of Spanish and the Mexican sound of Spanish. So lots of differences, lots of changes over time. Getting back to the original source, that's going to be our issues.
Okay, thank you for today.
Thank you. You have a beautiful week.
You too. Be well.
You too.